When I started keeping track of the great blue heron nest via the Cornell Lab of Ornithology's streaming nest cameras, I never imagined how emotionally intense the experience would be. It was so scientifically fascinating to observe so many behaviors at such close range. I saw how the birds add sticks to their nest, wedging and weaving large ones on the outside while setting small twigs flat on the floor. The male brought more sticks more often than the female and brought many before mating with her each time and then after she laid each egg. I got to watch them mating, seeing close up how the male grabbed onto the female's long spiky head nuptial plumes to hold his balance while he was on her back. Four times I watched live as the female struggled and contorted her body and suddenly stood up to reveal a brand new, beautiful blue egg. I missed seeing it live, but did get to see a video showing the fifth egg's arrival. Watching the birds take turns incubating eggs and working on the nest was enlightening, both because we always knew which bird was which close up, which had been hard to do when I was watching the birds from the lab in 2009 without that cam, and also because the two birds share roles fairly equally, yet each has slightly different ways of doing everything. But familiarity leads to affection. I wasn't online in the middle of the night when something attacked the female as she was incubating. The people watching were horrified when something seemed to collide with her and she stood up squawking. Her loud distress calls awakened people who had been sleeping with their computer on to hear the soothing sounds of spring peepers in the background. No one was quite sure what had happened in the darkness, but we soon had a grainy but decipherable video clip showing in slow motion a great horned owl headed straight for her head. The following day, she was clearly stressed, and there was another middle-of-the-night attack. The only visible damage to her was that her head's spiky nuptial plumes were gone, but she looked visibly shaken and seemed entirely diminished. The owl came back a third time when the male was on the nest. We hoped his larger size and strength sent it elsewhere for good. A few days later, we noticed a cracked dent in one egg, which we think happened when the female lurched up too quickly in one of the attacks. The cracks made it seem unlikely that that egg would ever hatch. Ithaca had such warm weather in March that this pair had started producing eggs over a month earlier than they'd even started building the nest in 2009. But well into incubation, on April 23rd, I woke up and turned on the cam to see 4 or 5 inches of snow piled up all around the incubating male. He stayed hunkered down all day, not getting up for more than a few moments at a time, but when he did, the 5 eggs looked so bizarrely out of place, surrounded by all that snow. The female stayed away all day, and we started wondering whether she had decided to cut her losses and move on, but the male steadfastly incubated hour after hour. It was already evening when finally, after 22.5 hours, he flew off, leaving the eggs. It seemed pretty certain that he, too, was cutting his losses, but less than a minute later he returned, and within a couple of minutes the female came back and took over so he could finally get a bite to eat. At each triumph over an owl and over deep snow, we became increasingly aware of just how many bad things could doom the eggs and even the adults, even as we became increasingly attached to these tenacious creatures and those beautiful eggs. And there were more intense events still to happen, which I'll tell you about tomorrow. Production of today's For the Birds was made possible in part by a generous grant from an anonymous donor. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking For the Birds.